This week we will be celebrating Thanksgiving. Often when we enter into this particular time of year, someone will say this, "It's time to give thanks." I almost hate to hear that statement, don't you? It's almost like Christmas time. Christmas time rolls around and individuals say something like this, "It's time to give gifts." My question is this, aren't we supposed to be thankful all the time? Is Thanksgiving the only week or day that we are supposed to be thankful unto the Almighty God? The title of our lesson this morning is this, "It's time to give thanks." And what we're going to do is we're going to take that little word, thanks, and each one of those letters are going to stand for a main point in the lesson. Let's start with this one, thanksgiving. When I thought about Thanksgiving, I asked the question, what in the world is it? And very simply, it's this, expressing gratitude for benefits, for blessings, for gifts, for favors, for kindness. Folks, all gratitude, all thanksgiving is first felt within. Someone has done something for us. Someone has provided something for us. Someone has shown us a kindness in some way. And deep within, we feel this special sense of thanks for what's been done. And it is what's on the inside that moves us, propels us, motivates us to express that outwardly. It can be as simple as a card sent to an individual, can it? It might be nothing more than a hug that's given to that particular individual, or it might simply be the words, "Thank you." Thanksgiving is commanded by God in the pages of His Word. I find that interesting. We read in Psalm 95, verse 2, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." Paul writes in Philippians 4, 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Colossians 4, 2, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." My friends, you and I as Christians ought to be individuals who are constantly giving thanks. Let's talk secondly about the holiday known as Thanksgiving. The date is very simple. It is the last Thursday of every November. I find it interesting that it's very close to the end of the harvest, and it was put there for that very reason. Once the harvest has been brought in, once we see all the profits that we've made, once we see all the yield that has been given unto us by the Almighty, then what should we do? We should bend a knee and give thanks unto God for His bounty. There is a great debate as to when the first Thanksgiving was celebrated. Some believe it was celebrated in 1619. There were 38 settlers who had entered into the United States, not the United States at that time, and they had traveled to a place known as Berkeley Hundred, Virginia. They had been commissioned by a London company, and as they traveled, they had a charter. And in that charter, it said this, "The day of the ship's arrival at the place assigned for plantation in the land of Virginia shall yearly and perpetually be kept holy as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God." That day was December the 4th. And folks, to this day, on December the 4th, in this place known as Berkeley Hundred, Virginia, guess what? There is still Thanksgiving pay for those settlers who came and first started that settlement. But when you go back into history and you study Thanksgiving, you're told that 1621 was the first real Thanksgiving, aren't you? This is the one about which all of us are familiar. It involved Plymouth, Massachusetts, and the Pilgrims. In that particular year, they had an exceeding abundant harvest, and they celebrated not with themselves, but also with the Native Americans that were there. Those individuals the year prior had helped those settlers make it through one of the most strenuous, difficult winters that they had ever faced. And now that there was a bounty of harvest, they gathered those tribes together and they celebrated and gave thanks unto the Almighty God on that occasion. As far as a national holiday is concerned, it was established by Abraham Lincoln in 1863 that the last Thursday of November would be Thanksgiving. I find it interesting that in 1939, some of you may remember that. See, I got a couple of chuckles out of that. And the reason I got those chuckles is because they remembered it. But Franklin D. Roosevelt changed Thanksgiving that year. And he moved it back 1 week to the Thursday before the last Thursday. That lasted for 2 years. 1939, 1940. For some reason, individuals got upset. They didn't like it. They complained. They griped. And finally, in 1941, through a joint resolution of Congress, the last Thursday of November was established officially as Thanksgiving, and it has been celebrated that way ever since. And we'll be doing that this Thursday, won't we? Let's talk about, thirdly, the areas of Thanksgiving. Some might be saying, what are you talking about, the areas of Thanksgiving? Aren't we supposed to give thanks for everything? Absolutely. And Paul makes mention of that, doesn't he? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But sometimes it helps us to break down some areas and look at those areas to see wherein we've been really blessed, folks. Take, for instance, we have physical blessings, don't we? This morning we all got up and we had food. We have clothing that we can wear. We were warm because of the heaters in our homes. You see, we are blessed physically, but we also have wonderful spiritual blessings, don't we? Those of us in here who are Christians have received the forgiveness of our transgressions through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but we also have a wonderful hope called heaven to come in the hereafter. There are blessings that we might classify as small blessings. Isn't it fun when a little 1, 2, 3-year-old runs up to you with a piece of paper in your hand? They said, here, I drew this just for you. And you open it up, and it might say something like this, I love you. Or it might say, happy birthday. And as far as artistic ability, it's probably the worst thing that's ever been drawn. But as far as you're concerned, it is the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen. And you give thanks for that. Folks, what about a touch? What about a kiss at the appropriate time? And then there are those great blessings. Someone's presence when we are right in the middle of a trauma. Or maybe you and I stand in need of an organ and all of a sudden we get word that an organ donor has come along and they have donated an organ so that we might live. A wonderful blessing, isn't it? We might talk about noticeable blessings. You and I live in a wonderful nation, do we not? I realize we have our weaknesses and we have our shortcomings and we have our struggles. But my friends, I'd rather live in this nation than any other nation in the entirety of the world, hadn't you? What a blessing. But then I think, you know, even if I lived in another nation, I could still be a member of the Lord's church. There's very few individuals in our world today who truly understand the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's even fewer individuals who are members of that precious church. And to be a member of the called out ones, wow, what a blessing that is. But there's also those blessings that are not as noticeable, or at least we just don't stop and think about them. the air we breathe, the sunshine that shines. You walk down a road and there's a little flower that's there, and it may be there just for you. You may be almost the only person who ever sees it. What a blessing, folks. Other areas. Sometimes we get expensive blessings, don't we? Maybe somebody buys us a piece of jewelry that costs quite a bit of money, or they take us on a vacation. My mother, on one occasion, came to me and said, "Hey, Vic, would you like to go on a trip on the footsteps of Paul?" "Nah, I don't think I'll go, Mom." "Are you kidding me?" Off we went. What a wonderful blessing it was, folks. But there's also those inexpensive blessings, aren't they? A little walk on the beach. Maybe it's just time on a porch swing where you just swing back and forth a little bit and just enjoy the day. How about these next areas of blessing? Those times of merriment in our life. Those holidays, like the one we're about to celebrate. I don't know about you. Thanksgiving is my most favorite holiday in all the year. No gifts. None of this crazy celebration. Just families getting together and what? Eating. You can't beat that, folks. It's just fun times. What about a birthday or an anniversary? You see, we get together on those times, and those are times of great merriment, are they not? But notice that I also put in here that in contrast to that are those periods in our lives wherein we struggle. And I say, those are times for thanksgiving. I'm talking about sickness and even death, folks. Because you see, it's there that we truly learn what's important in life. It's there that we are reminded of things that we need to be reminded about, which had we not experienced that particular suffering or struggle, we would have never been able to learn those lessons. How about this? Things in life. We have a bunch of things, don't we? We have a house. We have a car. I have to add this because we've got a couple of folks with motorcycles. But you know, even more important than that are what? People in our lives, right? Our brothers and sisters in Christ in this building. Our friends, our neighbors who are around us all the time. And then we have what I refer to as our overappreciated blessings, like our jobs. Those are overappreciated, folks. You know that? Those are the one thing I will never give up. Those are the one things I bend the knee to. Those are the one thing that, guess what? You can throw everything else out of my life, but you better give me my job. That's way overappreciated, you know it? And then we have some things in our lives that are way underappreciated. Sometimes it's our spouse. Sometimes it's parents, grandparents. You see, there's a lot of ways that you and I can break down our lives, and we need to focus in on every one of those areas, and guess what we need to do? We need to be thankful for it all, do we not? Isn't that what the Bible says? Giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, listen to what Paul says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Folks, everything that I have, I need to get on my knees and I need to thank God for those blessings. But then we turn to the end. No thanks. We live in a world where there's little or no thanks that's given many times. Take for instance, we can be blessed by God in unbelievable ways, and guess what? No appreciation, right? Somebody else can bless our lives, and it can be in just a very simple manner. And guess what? No gratitude. We receive benefits. We receive prophets. We receive gifts. And guess what? There's just absolutely no thanksgiving whatsoever. Has it ever happened to you? You're giving someone something and absolutely nothing said. Send a grandchild a gift and guess what? You never hear a word out of them. That's a good feeling. Do something for a next door neighbor and guess what? Not one word is ever said to you. Here's my question, folks. How do you feel when you provide a benefit to another individual and that other individual says absolutely nothing to you in response to that gift? One of the saddest stories in the Bible is found in Luke 17. But before we get there, I want you to understand something about Thanksgiving, folks. If you and I fail to render it, you and I are taking a step toward apostasy. That's exactly what happened to the Gentiles. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Folks, we're trying to stress the importance of what? Of thanksgiving. The very moment that you and I cease to give thanks for God for our benefits, we have taken a step down the road to departing from the Almighty God. Let's look at that sad story for just a minute. It involves the healing of 10 lepers. We're pretty familiar with the story, aren't we? Let's give it an overview very quickly. First, there was the crossing of paths in Luke chapter 17, 11 and 12. Jesus Christ is traveling and the Bible says He entered into a certain town. We're not told which town it was. Just a certain town. And as He enters into that town, there are 10 lepers that are there on the side of the road. Individuals who are sick. Individuals who've been ostracized from humanity. Individuals who are contagious. Individuals who are in pain and will eventually die. When they hear it's this Jesus of Nazareth, there's a cry made to the Master. And here's their cry. Master, have mercy upon us. The command of Jesus. He tells those individuals, go. Show thyself to the priest. Just a very simple command, isn't it? You see, they had to go to the priest in order to be declared ceremonially clean. So He tells them, you go to the priest and guess what? Everything will be wonderful. As they begin to walk toward the priest, guess what? They are cleansed of their leprosy. All 10 of them are cleansed. All 10 of them are healed of that horrible disease. One of them, when he sees what's transpired, he turns back, the Bible says, and guess what he does? He gives credit to Jesus for having healed him. The Bible says he even fell down on his face and gave him thanks. But it was at that point that Jesus expresses a very deep concern about what's happened. How many came back? Just one. How many had been healed? 10. Where are the 9? Where are the 9? He then gives a charge to the Samaritan to go his way, show himself to the priest so that he can be cleansed of that leprosy. In the question that Jesus asks, we feel his pain, don't we? Here's the question. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are none found that are returned to give glory unto God. Folks, Jesus was a man just like we are. And Jesus had feelings just like we have. And guess what? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they still have feelings just like we do. Here's my question. Had we been one of those 10, would we have been the Samaritan who went back to Jesus and gave thanks? Or would we have been one of the 9 who just completely forgot what Jesus had done and just immediately gone to the priest to be pronounced cleansed? Which group would I have been in? That leads to the next point. The key to thanksgiving, folks. The key to thanksgiving. The Bible says the Samaritan gave thanks to God and fell down on his face, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. I want you to note 4 things that that Samaritan did. Number one, the Bible says he turned back. He turned back. What does that indicate? It indicates that for a moment he forgot himself and he found Jesus, didn't he? See, that was the problem with those other 9. They were so consumed with what? So consumed with self. I need to be pronounced clean just as quickly as I possibly can. Not this gentleman. I need to find Jesus before I do that. Notice secondly, he glorified God. Folks, he sacrificed himself and praised the Father. Did you know that anytime you and I use our voice in praise and utterance unto the Almighty God, that that is a sacrifice unto him? Here is a man giving of himself to God because of what he had been given. He sacrificed self and praised God. Notice this next one. He fell down on his face before Jesus, folks. He humbled himself and honored the Christ, didn't he? And lastly, the Bible says that he gave Jesus thanks. He examined himself and express thanks unto the Father. Folks, all he had to do is look at his body. All he had to do is stop for a moment and feel what had transpired within him. And he knew immediately, something's different. There's been a radical change in me. He examined himself and expressed gratitude to the Christ. What was the key to the Samaritan's gratitude? Number one, he understood what happened to him. Before he met Jesus, and before Jesus told him to go show himself unto the priest, he was afflicted with a deadly disease, was he not? It is almost impossible for us in here to understand how bad that disease was. From head to toe, afflicted with boils, pus oozing from those boils. Parts of an ear would fall off. Parts of noses would fall off. Their fingers would fall off. Their toes would fall off. They would scrape themselves with pieces of pottery. They ached and they burned. They were cast out of society. No friends, no family, nobody was to come near those individuals. The moment they came near, they were to cry out, "Leper, leper, unclean, unclean." And the only thing they lived for was to die. And what did Jesus do? He cleansed him, didn't he? No more pain. No more suffering. As soon as he was pronounced clean, he could immediately go back to his family. He could immediately become part of his community once again. And from that moment on, he no longer had to worry about whether I'm going to die tonight or not. I'm going to live because I've been healed of this disease. You see, here's a man who understood what had happened to him. But here's the next point. He realized Jesus' work in providing the blessing. And you might say, well, what in the world did Jesus really do? Well, number one, Jesus thought about him, did he not? Here Jesus is traveling. He's just going through a certain city. And these men are standing over there crying out, have mercy on us. Folks, we see that all the time, do we not? Every street corner in Jacksonville, somebody's begging for something. And what do we have a tendency to do? Roll down your window and give them 20 bucks? No, we look away. We don't even want to make eye contact with them. And we just round the corner as fast as we can. Pray for a green light. Not Jesus. Jesus stopped and thought about those men. But notice, secondly, he spent a little bit of time on their behalf, did he not? He stopped, he talked to them, and he told them exactly what they needed to do. And notice, lastly, Jesus used his divine, miraculous ability to cleanse them. I want you to stop and think about that for just a minute. Did any of that take much time or much effort for Jesus? Not really. A few minutes. And then told them to go show themselves to the priest. That's all it took. But guess what? That Samaritan understood that Jesus was involved in the process, folks. And he appreciated what Jesus had done. Now here's the lesson for us. When you and I understand the goodness that other people have shown to us, you see, that's what we need to understand. We're so concerned about what the gift is, aren't we? Rather than truly understanding the goodness that is springing forth from the heart of that individual. And when we realize what they put into blessing our lives, they didn't have to do it. You buy someone something, you've thought about that person, haven't you? You go online and you find what it is you want to buy. You're spending a little bit of time doing that. You find the gift that you think would be a nice gift, and what do? You spend some money. You sacrifice a little bit for that person. You get that gift in, and what do? You don't just throw it at them. Oh, no, you wrap it up, don't you? You make it pretty. You take a little time, and you deliver it to that individual. Folks, that person has put in some time for you. We need to realize that. And when we do, then we'll become like the Samaritan, won't we? And it's then that we will respond in thanksgiving for all of our blessings. A person that is an ingrate is a person who doesn't stop to consider anything we've just talked about. They don't understand and they don't realize the magnitude of the gift. Now remember, it didn't take Jesus long, and it didn't take a lot of effort on his behalf, but folks, what he gave those people was unbelievable, wasn't it? The S, salvation. The greatest gift that any of us could ever possess is the salvation of our souls, is it not? Have you ever really stopped to think about everything that's involved in the salvation of the souls of men? Oh, the list is lengthy. I've only put four things up there. Number one, there is the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Secondly, salvation involves my being accepted by God. Who am I? I'm just a little piece of dust, aren't I? I'm an individual who, when sin revealed itself to me and I understood sin, I chose sin over God. And every one of us have done that. Who am I? And yet, God forgives me and God accepts me back in His presence, doesn't He? What a wonderful thought. Because of my salvation, I now have access to the throne of the Almighty God right now. Because of what Jesus has done, because I've received that benefit, I have all blessings in Him. And I have access unto the throne of the living God. And folks, I have hope, don't I? A hope beyond this life. And Paul says there's only one hope that man could ever possess, and to think that we have it. Why? Because we're saved. I find it interesting that all of these things were provided through one person, weren't they? And that person was Jesus Christ. And sometimes we just have a tendency to forget everything Jesus has done. Paul was a person who reflected on the Christ quite often. If there was any being in the mind of Paul, it was Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to some words that he spoke in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. There's a bunch of points that we can make in that verse, you know that? Here's the first one. Paul knew that a gift had been given to him. Did you earn Jesus coming to this earth? You didn't earn that. Man was in sin, man was in iniquity, and the only thing that he had earned were the wages of sin. And Paul tells us that's death. That's what we had earned. And yet what did God do? God sent His Son to pay the cost for sin, didn't He? I want you to listen to how he describes it. He says it is an unspeakable gift. Go do some study on that little word, unspeakable. That little word means this, indescribable. Something which is so deep and so profound that an individual truly cannot expound upon it fully. Oh, we think we're so smart, don't we? That we understand all about the death of Jesus. No. We don't get it all, folks. Paul says it's an unspeakable gift. Look at what else he says. I know it's a divine gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It's not something another man gave us. It's something that the Almighty God has given to us. So Paul looks at Jesus and he says, you know, Jesus is a gift. He's an unspeakable gift. He's a divine gift. And the only thing he could do is this, cry out, thanks be unto God. How often do we truly bow our knees in prayer and thank God for our salvation. It's the greatest gift that has ever been given to humanity, folks. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 100, 4 and 5. He begins in verse 4 talking about how we need to give God thanks. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. And what? Bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. That's why. There's a little song we sing, and it says this, God is so good. And thank God He is. It's Thanksgiving week, isn't it? Guess what? It's time for Thanksgiving, folks. If somebody ever does something good for you, guess what? It's time for Thanksgiving. If you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ and you have His salvation in your life, it is time to give thanks, isn't it? Let's close with two verses. Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy holy name. The second verse is found in Hebrews 13, 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. There should never be a day pass when you and I do not say the words, thank you, to our Father and God which is in heaven. Somebody said that the best way we can show thanksgiving is through thanksgiving. When the Lord looks at your life, is that what He sees? A life full of appreciation for all that He's done for you? If you're a Christian, and that's not the case, you need to go to God and ask Him to forgive you. My friend, if you're in sin, you need to repent of that and ask God's forgiveness of that. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. I want you to stop and think again. You have the ability to be saved from your sins. You have the ability to be a member of the church, the called out ones. You have the ability to have a hope in heaven in the hereafter. Very few people have that opportunity right now. If you'll believe in Jesus as the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess the beautiful name of Christ, will immerse you into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, just like those individuals on the day of Pentecost. And they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2, verse 41. Do you need to respond to the invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?